Here's a wonky but really important economic story. Last Thursday, the Department of Commerce announced that consumer spending is strong and that the U.S. economy had expanded at a rate of 3.1% from January to March. But while the federal government is projecting continued GDP growth over the next decade, the private sector isn't so sure. And that's mostly because the bond market is acting strange. You see, when bond prices start behaving in ways they usually don't, it's something called the yield curve. And history shows that a recession might not be far behind. Here to explain more is Campbell Harvey, a professor of finance at Duke University. And his work in 1986 discovered the yield curve's predictive powers. Professor Harvey, great to have you on the show.
Great to be on the show again.
So remind us again, for those of us who don't follow the ins and outs of economics, what is a yield curve?
It's really important to understand that when we look at GDP or unemployment, it's telling us about the past or what is happening currently. When you look at a financial indicator like the yield curve, you're looking into the future. So the yield curve, simply explained, is the difference in yields when you compare a longer-term interest rate, let's say a five-year U.S. Treasury bond or a 10-year bond, to a short-term interest rate, let's say a 90-day Treasury bill. So usually it's the case that the longer-term interest rate is much higher than the shorter-term interest rate. But in rare occasions, it actually reverses, where the short-term interest rate is higher than the long-term rate. It's unusual and it's almost always bad news.
Now, when does that begin to happen? When does that shift in interest rates begin to happen?
So my research, which you mentioned, that was published in 1986, I noticed that this yield curve inverted about 1 year or 18 months before a recession indicated. So that's what I mean by looking forward. So this is a predictive sort of relation. And then after the dissertation was published, this indicator has predicted accurately the three recessions that followed. And again, the same lead time, let's say about a year advance warning. However, it's not the only indicator out there. There's plenty of other information that you could look at to make an assessment. And one good example of this is the Duke CFO survey that's been going on for more than 25 years. It's a poll of over 1,000 CFOs around the world. And we asked them directly when the next recession will occur. And 84% of them believe that a recession will start either in late 2020 or the first quarter of 2021, which is consistent with the forecast from my simple yield curve model.
Now, as we mentioned at the top of the segment, the Commerce Department's numbers are quite optimistic. The economy has expanded a little over 3%. What is your research telling us compared to what the Commerce Department is saying?
The Commerce Department is reporting the past. What we really want is a window into the future. And things like bonds and even the stock market is able to deliver some information about the future because it is about cash flows that happen in the future. A bond, you buy a five-year bond, the principal is not paid off for 5 years. It's about the future. So whatever information we can glean from the financial market could be useful in predicting the future course of the economy.
Professor Harvey, the United States has officially at least been out of a recession for quite a while. For those folks who, you know, haven't been through one yet, can you remind us what it looks like?
Yes, so we have been out of a recession for 120 months. The usual length before a recession, on average, post-war, is 58 months. So this is late into a so-called recovery, very, very late. And the later we go, the higher the probability of some sort of correction. And what happens in recessions? Unemployment goes up. And even those that stay employed, it's likely that their total income actually goes down. So some benefits are decreased, bonuses are decreased. And it's also, if you're looking to move from that job that you're not really that enthusiastic about, it's much more difficult. So people are forced to stick in a job that maybe doesn't really match their abilities until the economy turns up.
So essentially, a recession sounds like could be inevitable. And if so, what should people do to prepare?
So recessions are inevitable. So that's why they call it a business cycle. So we have recovery, recession. So what do you do? How can you prepare for this? Because for almost all of us, it's beyond our control that the economic cycle, we can't stop it. Maybe policymakers can moderate it, but it's very difficult. So my advice is to be very prudent right now. This is not the time to borrow on your credit card to take a family vacation to Orlando. For a corporation, this is not the time to build a new facility that you could credibly push off for a few years. This is a time of caution. This indicator has been accurate in the past. It is only a forecast, but it is a red flag, and caution, I think, is the best move right now.
I want to bring in a couple of other things before we let you go here, Professor. The United States is in, some may call it a trade war with China. However you describe it, we are definitely seeing tariffs impacting our relationship with China. Last week, President Trump threatened to slap Mexico with 5% tariffs on all imported goods. Do either of those things factor into your modeling?
Yes. So again, there are many things that you want to look at in terms of coming up with an economic growth forecast. So we've talked about the yield curve as presenting some credible information. There are other things that are also relevant. And when you talk about trade, when you actually impose barriers to trade, is an anti-growth sort of policy. So tariffs are anti-growth. And indeed, I think that something even more important than the tariffs is the unraveling of the European Union with the Brexit situation. That is strongly anti-growth, and Europe will take a hit when it comes to economic growth. It's not just Britain, and that is not good for the U.S. either. So slower growth in Europe is bad news for the rest of the world. So that is like a third ingredient in terms of the forecast for economic growth. And perhaps a fourth ingredient is just the heightened level of uncertainty that at this stage of the business cycle, we really don't know. There's so many uncertainties that when there is uncertainty, I think that corporations in particular tend to delay capital investment. They tend to delay hiring plans. And all of that feeds into slower growth.
Campbell Harvey is a professor of finance at Duke University. Professor, thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.